welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you this week with episode number 440. Pretty obvious, but that's divisible by four. I mean, therefore, it is time to do
the news.
Hey, our next news will be triple four.
Yeah, well.
So, yes, we are doing the news. We have the April-May news haunted attraction industry wrap-up this week. Lots of interesting stories coming on, including some good news, actually. We get the honor of reporting. So, very excited about all the stuff going on in the industry right now. But if that's not what you're wanting to listen to, hey, I understand. News episodes, as we showed way back when, are not everyone's cup of tea. You can find more of our stuff at hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly, or wherever you get your podcast from. All right, so we actually can boast this week that we did work for our haunt.
I don't know if it's boasting at this point because there were so many weeks without it.
Yeah, well, we can actually lay legit claim to having done an hour's worth of work on the haunt.
Yes, that is true.
We did that because we ended up taking on... Okay, we had a rather... We had an incident.
Yes.
We had an incident Thursday last week, Friday.
I think it was Thursday. Basically, we tried to get food delivered.
And they absconded with our food.
Yeah.
We won't throw the delivery service or the restaurant. It's definitely not the restaurant's fault.
No.
We'll say it was a popular fast food-ish chain and leave it there.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't the restaurant's fault because the restaurant fulfilled the order. But something happened with the delivery between the restaurant and the house. And we'll just leave it there.
And even though that's not what happened this time, we have heard from a couple of them that it was difficult to see our house.
Yeah.
Now, hey, that's kind of bullshit because we have a horse skeleton, we have two horse skeletons out and about and other things that make it pretty obvious who we are. But we went through and we lit the front of the house, or relit it, I should say.
Yeah, because a few years ago they changed our street light to LED, which means the yard does not get as much of the light from the street light that's in our yard as it used to.
Yeah, we have a street light that's in our yard, and historically it's been very, very bright in the yard itself because it was a very diffuse light.
Yes.
But as you said, they came in, they replaced the old bulb with LED, and now it's very directional.
Exactly.
It comes down like a 5-foot cone in the street. It's like super bright there, not bright anywhere else. It's actually really frustrating.
Yeah, it's great for the yard display during Halloween because that light doesn't interfere with our lights, but it's very frustrating the rest of the year.
The 11 months out of the year, it's annoying. So we've gone through and with that in mind, lit the front of our house. We have lights on our poles now that show both our house number, that's what's important to the incident we were referring to, and also our Bernie Baxter sign.
Yes.
So
it lights up one of the horses.
Yeah, and one of the horses too,
There you go.
So
you should be able to see it.
That ends that issue. We also moved some equipment from the shed into the haunt that we're getting ready to use as we begin the next phase of our haunt, which we will talk about in just a minute, because that might be connected to the question of the week.
Okay.
That sound good?
Sounds good.
So, speaking of the question of the week, every week we try to ask a question of the week, and last week we asked you what was your favorite experience at a home haunt other than your own, and you all came through.
Right. James Ike, the blind squirrel, said, I have two. When I was 8, I helped my dad building his haunt. I was so tiny, was able to slip out of the bars that held the kids. So there was a random dead kid running around. Sounds like fun. When I was 12, I was at a friend's house. He put a speaker in an Elmo, and I could imitate Elmo's voice, so I made Elmo tell people he wanted their souls. Fun fact, I could still sound like Elmo at 34.
I'm just going to say that might be a talent you could sell.
Yeah, that's a unique skill there.
Victor Ruelas says, I've been lucky. Last two homes we've had were surrounded by people who love to decorate for Halloween. People down the street built a huge pirate ship last year. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to visit them on Halloween. Still very cool, though.
Mm-hmm. Reggie Woods said, growing up in the 80s, we had this house in the neighborhood that had an amazing setup, movie quality. It was amazing watching someone dressed as Jason from Part 2 scare the poop out of the kids on Halloween night. And that was a poop emoji. Left me with the passion of... I'm not going to have a lot of money when I'm older because I just need to build more props or you can never have enough skeletons.
Fair point. Sam Farrell said, growing up with my friends, one of my friends had a Halloween party that started the haunted basement where the ghost of a man who hated children resided. Friend's dad played the ghost, and we would sit on his lawnmower in the dark corner, start it up, and scream, I hate children. The funny thing is that he also was our 5th to 6th grade math teacher, and to this day, I wonder if he was really just letting off steam. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
The answer is just yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris Gay said, as a kid, one of my neighbors went way overboard with their fog machines, and we lost one of our friends in the fog bank. We didn't see him again until the next morning at the bus stop. Safe, scary, definitely hilarious in retrospect. Yeah, you just, like, left your friend.
Isn't that the plot of a South Park episode? I feel like it was.
I haven't watched enough.
But anyways, the other thing is, I apparently need to stop making that joke about how many kids we lost that night.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Because, like, okay, when I'm outside as Bernie and I have the thing where I have to count them in on the little counter, I go, one, two, and I sometimes will play around with them, especially if I'm stalling for time. And they go, why are you doing that? Or something like that. I go, that's so we can track the number to go in that door versus the number to come out that door. Only lost 3 tonight. Our new best. Our new record. And they go, oh, and then they either laugh, which is the most common news source. But then every once in a while, you lost 3 kids?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Oh. Anyways, Greg Packard said, so hard to answer. In Los Angeles, we are blessed. The Farm Haunt and Rotten Apple 907 are favorites for sure. Everything I have heard about Los Angeles says that is the most lit home haunt scene like in the country. So that doesn't surprise me.
No.
And finally,
Christine Campbell said the Haunted Wasteland. Sadly, they closed in 2019 because they got too big, but did get their 20th year. However, after that, the owner passed away.
Yeah, I actually looked into this place because Christine Campbell got me interested in it. And she linked to their Facebook profile.
Yeah.
And that's where I found, you know, A, that they hadn't posted in quite some time. And that they had announced that 2019 was going to be their last year. But then they started ramping up for something in 2020. And then it seems like the owner passed away, which is sad. Yeah. But, yeah, they have asked you to keep the spirit going and their legacy, which I would say all of the above have done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this week's question of the week, where are you at on your 2024 build? Let us know at hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, and youtube.com/hauntweekly. Where are you this week on your build? We're in a very awkward place.
Yes. It has started getting hot.
Yeah.
That makes it awkward.
But no, I think we're at the awkward place where we're mostly done with demo.
Yeah.
We have one or two more things we have to demo, and we're trying to make the pivot toward the build.
Yeah. And we thought we were done with demo, but then we found more walls that actually need to be moved or come down.
But also at the same time, we now have walls that we need to urgently buttress and support. Because otherwise we're not going to be able to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To do laundry or have a functioning garage too, which it still has to be the other 11 months of the year. So that's kind of where we're at, is we're making that pivot from demo to build. And a lot of it's not even build anymore. It's more rearrange and reposition.
Yeah, because I think that we have plenty of panels. They're just not where we need them.
Yeah. And we might need to swap out some 7-foot panels for 8-foot panels or vice versa. I don't know. We're going to have to look at that as we come to it. But yeah, we're in a decent place right now overall. I still think even with the weeks we've had really bad struggles with getting things done, we're in a better place than we were last year. That's for damn sure.
Yes. Well, last year was the reminder about how much work goes into this.
Yeah, and then we didn't put, like, any work into it until, like, September.
Yeah.
So we're doing much better than last year. I think we're probably going to, if we can get a relatively cool weekend sometime soon, we'll get most of the panels up. Because that's always the thing. This is always the part that looks the scariest. Because, like, we got these big, huge, empty spaces.
Yeah.
And it's always, oh, no, the haunt's never going to get done. But then we put the panels back. And they're like, well, geez, all we got to do now is paint and decorate.
Yeah.
And then we forget that that takes a lot of time.
Well, I don't forget, but that's just because I do a large portion of it.
Yeah. So we're definitely in a better place than we were last year. But yeah, we're at that weird transition between demo and rebuild. Yeah. And in fact, we're having the next projects on our list are actually a little bit of both.
Yeah. And I think that the other thing to take away from this week is that I love our 3D printer. Mm-hmm. I printed a little skelly man and he's like jointed and stuff. And moves. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's one thing we didn't mention was we've been dabbling and fooling around with the 3D printer some.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready to probably start 3D printing some of the things we need for decoration in the haunt.
Exactly. I'm going to be 3D printing gears, like I had mentioned, I think, last week.
Yeah.
I tried printing or cutting it out with Cricut. I do not like the Cricut as much as the 3D printer.
No, the 3D printer, I mean, I don't know what it is, but that 3D printer specifically seems to be really, really easy to use.
Yeah, it's very user-friendly.
And that's the Anchor Make, right?
Yeah,
that's proved to be, like, you have to be decent with computers. Don't pretend like, you know, Joe Schmo never fired a computer up, can get it working in 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you can do word processing and Photoshop and that type of thing, some basic computer use, you can use this 3D printer probably pretty fine. It's really amazing how good of a 3D printer it is for a layperson. And like you said, you produced a skeleton with joints.
Yes.
That interconnected. I was deeply surprised when you said that was just one print job.
Yeah.
And it literally printed connected.
Yeah, printed connected with little, like, bits that you had to clean out, but yeah. That's with any 3D print, you're going to have a little bit of cleanup.
Get some sanding, some scraping, some...
Well, at least with the filament print. I think the resin print is different.
Yeah.
Our friend has that machine.
Yeah, we've got the Anchormake is filament only.
Yeah.
All right, well, on that note, it is also an even-numbered episode. That means we do conference reminders, and as usual, Crystal will kick us off.
Okay. Halfway to Halloween Expo is May 11th in Ann Arbor, Michigan at the Washtenaw Farm Council grounds. 140 visitors, food trucks, Hearst Show, halfway to Halloween, mi.com for more info.
All right. And after that, May 18th is Scare Event at Hellendoom in the Netherlands, and Hellendoom, Netherlands specifically, at Adventure Park Hellendoom. You know what? I think this is just structured to get me to say the word Hellendoom as many times as I can, and I'm not going to run away from that. Featuring speakers from all over the world, a scare market, and a late-night scare fest. Check out more at scareevent.nl.
Okay, Midwest Haunters Convention is June 7th and 9th at the Rosemont in Rosemont, Illinois, at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. Meet people from behind 13 Chicago haunts, haunt tours featuring Disturbia, Evil on Erie, Niles Scream Park, and 13th Floor, another haunt tour featuring Hell's Gate, MidwestHauntersConvention.com. Follow that for more info as it becomes available.
Yes. And if you happen to be going to Midwest Haunters Convention, maybe also suggest the Haunters Against Hate Awards Luncheon is June 7th, also in Rosemont, Illinois, at Manetti's. I made that so small I can't read it. Manetti's, featuring Judith O'Day, as well as friends of the podcast, such as Japes Palace, Roberta McLean, and Sven. Mm-hmm. Much, much more. Tickets are $50, but extremely limited. Get them at the Haunters Against Hate Facebook page. That's the easiest way to get to the actual ticket buying page.
Yes, if there were a way for us to get up there, we would definitely be going to this.
Absolutely, 110%. Not going to happen right now, though, unfortunately, with our jobs and everything. But James will go in our stead. We're sending James.
James and Roberta.
James and Roberta are going to be there. The Haunt Weekly contingency will be very well represented, I feel. Yeah. I'm teasing. They're going on their own accord. It's not ours.
They're being awarded.
I know. Right. It's just so nice to see your friends get those kinds of awards. It's so cool. It makes me feel squishy and warm.
The recognition is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
All right. June 21st through the 23rd, it is Michigan Haunt Fest in Munith, Michigan at the Oaks Campground. Demos and make and takes, Saturday raffle, costuming and makeup classes, michiganhauntfest.weebly.com for more info.
All right. That's a look at the upcoming conferences for you. And as we mentioned, this is episode 440. It's time to do
the news.
And we have a lot going on this week. Oftentimes, this time of year, we really struggle to find stories. A little bit less than we would have liked. So we may end class a little early, but still, a lot of big things happening. So a lot to go over. Crystal, you want to start us off?
Sure. A judge has ruled for Wilson's Haunted Forest. This article is by Thomas Tedesco in Lockport, New York. And it's at the NiagaraGazette.com. All right. A state Supreme Court judge has ruled that the town of Wilson must make a decision of the fate of a well-known Halloween attraction's operation this year. Because the judge, Justice Frank Sedita, read the complaint by the zoning board that said that the haunt had to provide an environmental impact study before they could get a special use permit, and said, I don't agree with that ruling. They agreed with the haunt.
Yeah.
So the haunt owners are now feeling vindicated, as that's what they've been saying. They read what they were supposed to do. They applied for the appropriate permits and were denied. It went to the zoning board because of noise complaints from neighbors. And the zoning board has appealed this decision as of April 12th. So they're still fighting to not have the haunt open this year. But if the haunt is awarded the license, they are seeking a 10-year permit, so they don't have to go through this again.
Yeah, for a long time. This story is frustrating in a lot of ways. I mean, one of the things we do talk about is, like, you know, if you ingrate yourselves to the community, they will do anything they can to make your haunt happen and support you in any way. And if you have an issue with the community, they will do the exact opposite. They will even go all the way to, you know, basically appealing a state Supreme Court decision to try and keep you closed. And because basically what it sounds like happened here is the haunt had a series of noise complaints.
Yes.
And the city decided, well, the easiest way to shut them down was to basically run the clock out on them by requiring that they do a very expensive environmental impact study, mm-hmm. which is silly if they're not moving to a new location, because whatever environmental impact they're going to do
is already done.
It's already happened.
Yeah. And they have on the property, they have a walkthrough and a corn maze.
Yeah.
Because it is part of a working farm.
Yeah. And I do know that in some places, like the part of the agribusiness license, like agricultural establishments have once again, not a lawyer, and all this comes from understanding and talking with haunters locally who have set up these types of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But agricultural-based businesses have, in general, greater leeway, especially under both local and national laws, to use their property for entertainment. They are free from a lot of the concerns about, like, personal injury lawsuits. When you visit such a place, you take a greater degree of risk, for example.
Right. And the fire codes are also very different.
If they apply at all, even.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. The whole thing, basically, there's a lot of rules in place that typically make it easier for a working farm to operate this kind of attraction. And the goal isn't just to enable haunted houses, it's to enable apple picking things, it's to enable Christmas events, any kind of agri entertainment, is what they call it,
mm-hmm.
Event. And it sounds like what happened here was, like I said, they got some noise complaints, which is pretty impressive given that it seems like it's a pretty big farm. But they got some noise complaints, so the city or the county or whatever decided, no, it was the city, sorry, decided the easiest way was to run out the clock and ask for this environmental impact study, which apparently was not necessary and was really just an attempt to avoid making a decision on it.
Yeah.
And basically the idea is, once again, to kick, quote unquote, kick the ball into the long grass and wait so that they can't open this year.
Yeah, and that's what they did to them last year. So they didn't open last year because they knew they didn't have the right permits.
Which is unfortunate, but it is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it is a new location.
Well, for the pumpkin farm.
Oh, the pumpkin farm.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm looking for when they actually started. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. But yeah, but my understanding is they weren't really changing locations fully, and this environmental impact study was neither necessary nor appropriate. It was just an attempt to shutter them, basically. And that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Like, I completely believe that a city or county should have the ability to shutter any business, not just a haunted attraction, but any business that is actively harmful to the community. But you should at least have the stones to, you know, shutter them, not run the clock out on them. I think that's pretty messed up. But yeah, I don't know. It's always frustrating when a likely small group of neighbors is able to cause this much trouble for a haunted attraction that by most accounts seems very well loved.
Yeah.
And had been there for some time.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long they've been there. I was trying to find it, but I've been unsuccessful in a quick search.
Yeah.
So, all right.
So, anyways, moving on to the Ironton Lions Club starts second century of service. Wow, this is a hell of a mark.
Mm-hmm.
The IrontonTribune.com by Mark Schaffer. But basically, the local Lions Club, which focuses on raising money for many local organizations, was founded on December 19th, 1923. It only had 25 members at the time, but it annually distributes more than $10,000 to local charities. They plan and put together a haunted tunnel every year. Now, the haunted tunnel, to be clear, has not been there 100 years. I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong about that. That wasn't the impression I got from the article. But the organization behind it is hitting the century mark.
Yeah, the tunnel, though, is an actual road tunnel.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's been closed down for a long time, so they turn it into the haunted tunnel.
Yeah.
For Halloween.
You know, and that's a pretty clever use. Now, we don't get a lot of tunnels in this. Though, it turns out, we found out New Orleans actually has one running underneath the CBD. Yeah, we found that out a couple of years ago when a sinkhole opened in it.
Oh, yeah. That was, like...
And that's relevant today because it happened pretty much on the day because we all celebrated Sinkhole de Mayo.
Yes, because that is New Orleans culture in a nutshell.
That is quintessential New Orleans, even completing the cultural appropriation loop.
Yes.
But no, we celebrated Sinkhole de Mayo for the sinkhole that opened up right in the heart of the central, like the key tourist and business area in the city.
Yeah, because it was right near Harrah's Casino.
Yeah, right there on Canal.
So if you've ever been to one of the haunted conventions here, then you have probably walked past the road that had to be repaired.
Yeah, maybe even right over it,
yeah.
Too. And it was especially interesting because we found out later that it was part of a plan that was going to see a tunnel go underneath the French Quarter and come out somewhere further upriver. So that way they wouldn't have to tear out all those historic buildings to do a big interstate.
Yeah, but anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the Ironton Lions Club.
Yes, we are. Sorry about that. Sorry.
And their tunnel, haunted tunnel, and it actually still only has 25 members.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. No, it started with and still only has 25 members.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's very cool. But yeah, they do this every year. They have for some time now. Basically, they do the really cool thing of they have a great story behind it. The story of the haunted tunnel is that sometime in the 1950s, an accident befell a bus hauling a sports team, and the bus crashed, killing everyone, and their spirits still haunt the tunnel. Now, bonus points if you say that's why they closed the tunnel. That's the only change I would recommend. That's why they closed the tunnel, was the horrible accident. They couldn't get all the bodies out or something.
Yeah.
And then I love the response. So people will ask me if it's real, and I tell them, go to the library.
Yes, go to the library and research. Not pull out your phone.
No, that's old-timer Google it. It's... But it's a good, they say it's a good fundraiser, and they have a lot of volunteers that help with it. And basically, he thinks it's the reason that the club has lasted so long is because of the members' drive. I think that's really great.
Yeah.
I mean, and yeah, I do think having a haunt and having a project like that helps a club survive a very, very long period of time. So kudos to you guys for a century and for having both a great location and a great story.
Yeah. And speaking of days in celebration recently, Lincoln Mill Haunted House presented Star Wars inspired May the 4th Corrupt You instead of May the 4th Be With You.
Yes.
So this article is by the New Jersey Sage, and the Haunted House is located in Philadelphia. So they did a whole, so they're fans of Star Wars. And whenever they realized that halfway to Halloween was close to May the 4th.
Yeah, it's like May 11th, I think.
Yeah.
It's close, yeah.
Yeah. They decided, well, we're just combining the two and created the first one. And that's not a bad idea.
The only issue I see with it, and this is the IP guy coming out here.
Oh, I know.
Is you don't want to piss off Lucasfilms and the trademarks that come with this. They will come after you. But other than the potential IP issues, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they used any actual characters from the movie.
Yeah.
Just kind of a vibe, I guess.
Alluded, made jokes, you know. Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, there are definitely ways you can do.
A few little references.
Yeah, there are definitely things you can do. But, yeah, it's I would be very cautious doing anything with Star Wars IP, even remotely, though. But still, neither here nor there. Moving on.
Yeah. So they thought that their main villain, Victor Kane, had some already was similar to Darth Vader, but not really. So they just used that because they think Darth Vader is one of the greatest villains of all time. And it mentioned one of the good things about this is that it mentioned the bars and restaurants in the area that would be open when they were open, so that there was cross promotion involved, going back to that building good neighborhoods, being good neighbors.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that part was really, really cool because basically they're saying, hey, when you're done with us, go get a bite here, get a drink there, go see a show there, whatever's going on nearby. And hopefully those establishments cross promoted with them, saying, hey, when you're done eating here, maybe go visit, check out the haunt that's open this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know, I think it is a great idea. Like I said, halfway to Halloween celebration, one thing I've noticed in reading haunt news so feverishly is that I'm seeing a lot more halfway to Halloween haunts this year than any year prior.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what that change is. Like events and stuff, even if you aren't able to open your haunt, having some of your characters there and like a barbecue or something would be great. Because that's what people are looking for, just things to do to celebrate.
Yeah, host a movie night or something if you've got a place you can screen movies.
Yeah.
Once again, doing all the IP stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, you could do a lot of interesting things with that without actually fully opening your haunt. I know a lot of haunts are probably in the same condition ours is in.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere between demo and rebuild.
Yes.
And therefore not really available to open.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully in the next few years, but I do like seeing these more seasonal events, these opportunities coming up. And I think halfway to Halloween is possibly one of the better ones because it's a holiday that's completely secular. It doesn't really do anything. You know, it's not going to offend any religion or sensitivity. It's just
right.
Halfway to Halloween. And it's literally as far away from Halloween as you can get. I think it makes sense as a target for doing an annual special show of some stripe, whatever stripe that is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on. This is an article by Stephanie Sigafoos at the Lehigh Valley News. And basically, a popular haunted attraction is investigating the paranormal, spending 24 hours in hell, quote unquote. The Waldorf Estate of Fear Haunted Attraction, which is a mouthful to say, I just realized, in Layton, Pennsylvania, is the filming location for a new TV series called, wait for it, 24 Hours in Hell. The TV show, the show is a TV series that features people who stay at the location for 24 hours. And the part that I think is really interesting is Angie Moyer is both the owner of the attraction and co-creator and producer of the TV series.
Hmm. That's an interesting way to promote.
And yeah, that's what I'm really interested in this about, is because basically they're creating the series on site. They're doing this doing something with the property in the off season. And they're going to use it to drive up hype for the haunt by pitching it as a real haunted attraction. And it sounds like this is like a found footage type thing where they're, but instead of a movie, they're making it a TV series. So it's relatively inexpensive to produce. But the idea is basically they're going to take this, produce this series, and it will premiere on September 13th, 2024. They do not know. They did not say when it will be hitting the streaming platforms. But it's expected sometime in 2025. But yeah, this is a good use of the haunt and a good way to, A, make extra money because you can sell the license to the TV series. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, you're building promotion and building the reputation of the haunt at the same time. I think that's really cool. I think that's a brilliant idea, and I'm happy to see the haunt doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've seen some haunts invite paranormal investigators shows into it,
yeah.
To do their one-off, but like not a whole series based on it.
Yeah, and I've noticed, like the mortuary locally is the one that's famous for hosting those types of investigations, both in TV shows and also just, like, enabling people to come do them. Because they are actually located in an old mortuary. The name is quite apropos. You know, as someone that's a skeptic of that type of thing, I obviously it's tongue in cheek with me, but this seems to be not presented as a true thing. This is them. This is a TV show based upon what happens.
Yeah, because if you watch the trailer for it, they have the actors in the haunted house from the haunted house and scenes from the haunted house in the trailer.
Yeah. Which, so once again, I would absolutely do.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so if it's a found footage in that, you know, staged kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like the Blair Witch Project. Yeah. It's not like, you know, Ghost Hunters or whatever those shows are.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be interesting to see. I'm going to be looking forward to checking it out. I'm a little bit sad that it won't be, like, widely released until next year. But I'll be curious to watch it when it does come out and see just what they decide to do with it, basically. Mm-hmm. I'll be very curious. I think this has a neat idea. And we've seen some examples of haunters turning their haunts into production spaces. Like I said, Hell's Gate has done some movie and video production on their location. So it's not the first time we've seen that, but I think this may be one of the best package times.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Hershey Park has announced its new haunted attraction that will open Friday the 13th this fall. That's in September. This is for an article by Sean Adams at Patriot News on PennLive.com. Opening, like I said, it's pretty straightforward. It's going to open on the 13th. It's going to be the longest season they've ever had. We also saw this with HHN. Announcing that they're going to have a really long season because Friday the 13th is in September, so it's really just a couple of extra weeks. But I know, at least for us, those couple of weeks, like, are crucial. Like, this year, we're having to open a week early.
Yeah.
And we're having to plan for that. Hopefully, they realized this last year when they were planning for this year. But large theme parks do seem to be at least thinking about opening early.
And this could be good news for haunters who maybe don't often get to go to other haunted attractions because HHN and all of these, like you said, theme parks in particular are opening September 13th. That may be a weekend that a lot of the regular haunts, quote unquote, are not open. and therefore they might be able to go and see see what's going on. So that might be kind of cool. But yeah, I have a feeling we're going to be getting a lot of these announcements of, hey, we're opening on September 13th, and it'll be our longest season ever. And, you know, that's going to be brutal on the actors.
Yeah, so if they start popping up every time, don't expect every one of them to be mentioned on the future news episodes.
Maybe we'll be discussing, like, in general what we're seeing. Maybe we'll do something like that, but... yeah, this, I have a feeling 2024 is going to be the longest Haunt season ever.
Yeah.
And I say that, and I think what happened is, like, Haunt season has been getting longer in general.
Yes.
We've been seeing it, because previously, you would never see it go into either November or September, really. And now we've been seeing most Haunts go at least a few nights into November, and pushing more and more and more. Like, we've seen the mortuary open, like the third weekend in September before. So we've been seeing it move more into September, too. It's been expanding. And now we've got a Friday the 13th in September. Many Haunts are just going, ah, screw it. What's an extra week or two? You know, and making that last leap. And like you said, I hope they planned all that when they started the Haunt build.
Yeah.
Because that week, those 2 weeks can matter a lot.
Well, and I'm sure that the large places, like, do plan out everything years in advance.
Hopefully, yes. I would hope... but then again, I keep learning that a lot of the large Haunts really are just kind of run by the seat of the pants, too, so...
well, and the other thing is that even working for, like, universities, they know generally when things are going to happen around, like, graduation, which is something that's pretty freaking big, but they don't really start planning it until a couple of months before.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, I think you might be overestimating the planning ability of a lot of Haunts.
Well, okay, so Haunts, yes. Theme parks, maybe not.
Hopefully not, but yet, at the same time, probably not. Probably. It's going to be their longest season ever. I think it's going to be true for a lot of Haunts this year. And it'll be interesting next year to see if Haunts go back to a shorter season or if they try to keep it open, you know, into mid-September. I get a lot of that's going to depend on how well it goes. All right. Well, this is what I think of as the big news this week. The Dark Harbor is to return to the Queen Mary this fall. This is an article by Robert Niles at the Theme Park Insider. Basically, Spirits Will Rise is the thing. Now, they will be opening September 20th, not September 13th, but they'll be running through November 2nd. The original run went from 2010 to 2019 and established itself as one of the biggest haunted attractions on the West Coast, basically.
Yeah, and it made our list of places we wanted to go to.
Yeah, made our bucket list type place. Yeah,
and then we heard that it closed.
And then it got hit by a city takeover, then the pandemic... and basically, you know, they had... and then there was all this talk about how the boat itself... because it takes place on a ship.
Yeah.
That the boat itself was in horrible shape.
Yeah.
It was basically like going to fall into the ocean or something. They made it sound like...
yeah. They did make it sound like it needed a lot of repairs in order to stay open as a haunted house.
Or to stay open even as a tourist attraction in general.
Yeah.
Let alone a haunted house. But they have announced they will be reopening the Haunt and will be working with the 13th floor and the city of Long Beach to make it happen. So yes, between September 20th and November 2nd, the Dark Harbor will return to the Queen Mary in Los Angeles, and that in Long Beach, rather. And that is so cool. That's such good news. Because like you said, it had made our list of sort of bucket list Haunts we wanted to go to.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, well, then they, like you said, they closed. And it was a very abrupt closure. It was like things just went bad. And it didn't sound like anything went bad with the Haunt. It went bad with, like, the organization, the ship itself and the organization that maintains and runs it.
Right.
It was that. And, like you said, the city took over and then COVID happened. So they technically have had a longer outage than we did by quite some time.
Yeah, started at the same time.
Yeah, but we ended ours 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Godspeed for bringing back the Dark Harbor, and I guess we have to put them back on the bucket list is what I've learned.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious also about the involvement of the 13th floor in this.
Yeah.
Because they were not involved with the original, if I remember correctly. I might be misremembering that, but I don't believe they were.
The article made it sound like it was a new partnership.
But yeah, I'll be curious how that goes. But yeah, I mean, I'll be let me put it like this. If you out there go to it this year, please let us know how it is, and specifically how it compared to previous years, pre-2019 years. You know, let us know, hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, and youtube.com/hauntweekly. We want to know the deets and how you found it. All right, moving on.
All right. The original Haunted Mansion is undergoing costly changes, Disney has confirmed. This is from Inside the Magic. It's an article by Luke Damon.
Okay, and to be clear, we know this is not a great news source. I know some people out there really don't like it when we use them, but I've confirmed from the links they presented that these things are true. But yes, I understand completely the reservations about the source, but they were the only place covering it. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, basically the Disneyland California Haunted Mansion will be in... The renovations are happening inside and outside of it. The ride was shuttered in January, pending upgrades to the queue and the expansion of the grounds. They have released new concept art of the queue, and it looks amazing. What's new is that they are changing things inside the attraction, too, according to the permits filed by the company. Show level scene 11?
Yeah, they don't say what that is. It's show level scene 11. That's exact quote.
Yeah, that's going to cost around $50,000, which I don't think that's very much for Disney.
Disney, no. For us, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, got to remember, this is just one small section of it, too. So
yeah, and there are some sources that are reporting that they're going to replace the bride and the hitchhiking ghost scenes, which
are two of the more famous scenes.
Yeah, I think of those as pretty iconic, and the ghosts are on all of the merch.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised about that.
Well, they may keep the characters, but may replace how the scenes are done or something, too. We don't know what they're doing. They've been very, very vague about these changes. But yeah, so basically, we've talked about it previously. The Haunted Mansion in Disneyland is closed in January. We actually announced, I think, late 2023 we talked about it. They'd announced the closure. Said it was going to go on until summer of this year. So if you go to Disneyland right now, sorry, no Haunted Mansion. But basically, they were talking at the time like they were just redoing the outside. But it appears they're doing changes on the inside, too. So that's the main update we have here. Even if they're relatively small changes limited to a portion, do expect something to change on the inside of the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. Now, if that disappoints you, that you can't go to Disneyland and be on the haunted attraction right now, perhaps I can interest you in a home in Georgia. A Georgia home designed to look like Disney's Haunted Mansion is on sale for $2.2 million. This is an article by Samantha Grindel at Business Insider. And basically, in 2003, a former Disney contractor, Mark Hurt, designed the Duluth, Georgia house to look exactly like the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the two side by side, this is one of the times you really should check out the photos in the article. They look exactly alike. Now, obviously, the home doesn't have all the spooky stuff on it, but the house itself is designed exactly like the same number of columns, same railing, same everything. Side by side, they are the same. It has nearly 10,000 square feet, 5.5 bath, and like I said, was designed to look like the Haunted Mansion. Even features Haunted Mansion labels on the front gate, but the interior is surprisingly normal.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a regular modern house. It looks like a house built in 2003 on the inside. There are various Disney touches, like the accents around some of the lights are Haunted Mansion inspired, but in general, it looks very normal. It does have a kick-ass rooftop patio, though, if that's what you're into. It's on sale right now for $2.2 million. I am sure every single person in our audience has $2.2 million. They can just pull out right now and buy this mansion without a second thought, because you all are insanely wealthy and attractive people.
Okay.
But yes, no, it's very cool, and I would definitely look at the photos of it.
If you're in the area, go to one of the open houses.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. And take lots of photos if you do. All right. Our last story.
Mm-hmm. So, this one is from John Lynch at WTRF in Ohio.
That's way too close to WTF, guys. I know when you picked your call letters, WTF wasn't a thing, but...
Well, you know, whatever. Anyway, the Wells Township Haunted House recently hosted the band Altered on May the 4th.
Altered States.
Altered States, sorry. I even wrote this part.
Yeah, this is one of yours.
Yeah. But they invited fans of the bands and of the haunted house to show up to take part in a music video. The actors of the haunt were also in the music video, and it was a great cross-promotion effort between the band and the haunt to get both names out there.
Yeah, I love this. You know, I know from talking to various haunt owners that for some haunt owners, selling their renting out their space for various film projects is a key part of their business strategy. If they don't do it, they probably aren't going to be in the black, no matter how well they do at Halloween. And I always found that interesting. But this is a great example of the two working hand in hand to promote the haunt and also hopefully get the haunt a little extra off-season money too. So yeah, but basically, they hosted them on May 4th. I think this is just a brilliant idea. I can't find any flaw in this other than it maybe being too cool.
Yeah,
I just find this incredible. So yeah, this makes me very, very happy as a haunter and as a fan of music videos. Cause it feels like nobody makes music videos that much anymore.
I have no idea. Like,
I have no idea.
I know you're waiting for me to respond, and I'm like, we have music video battles all the time, but...
We're old.
We don't pull from a lot of new music.
That's true.
And so I don't know what's out there.
You know, I think we're both a little fortunate that we were growing up in an era in which there was actually music on MTV.
Yeah.
So we had a singular place to go to and watch music videos.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, well, we go to YouTube now, but one of the podcasts I listened to recently was talking about all of the really good show intro theme songs for shows and why they came about. So that was another way of, you know, when times change, you got to follow where to find what you're looking for.
Yeah, if I did not see what you saw, but I remember hearing it was about, A, where the commercial breaks were and when they wanted to time the commercial breaks and also wanted to get to the quote-unquote action faster.
Well, it wasn't... So what they were talking about was more of how a lot of the Motown musicians and things, whenever it fell out of favor and popular demand, they were looking for places to go and get new work. So they reached out to television show and said, hey, we can make all of these jazz accompaniments and music for your TV shows, which is why you have that whole era there of really great theme shows.
Theme songs, yeah.
Theme songs.
Okay, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, I was somehow why it fell out of fashion.
Yeah. No, yeah. I was talking about why it started in the first place. You're on the other side.
Yeah.
Got it.
Fair enough. All right. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us for the past 50 minutes or so. Greatly appreciate it. Hope you learned something. Hope this was useful. This has been episode 440 of HauntWeekly.com, talking about the April and May news. Please check out more Haunt Weekly at HauntWeekly.com, Haunt Weekly at Twitter, Haunt Weekly at Facebook, and YouTube.com/HauntWeekly. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we see you all next week with a not news episode. What we'll actually have, I have no idea. But we will see you all next week.